Christians have a wonderful relationship with God. We have eternal life. We have a purpose to live. It's just wonderful. Wonderful in that sense. We have peace with Almighty God and rest for our souls as we follow behind the Lord Jesus. We're his followers. He's in the lead. He's our king, our master, our boss, and we're trailing behind him. We have his yoke upon us, and we're following. We're doing his will, obeying his commands, and as we do that, part of the package is not only all these wonderful things, the good things that I just mentioned and other things which I did not mention, but something that is not always looked upon in a very desirable way. In fact, it's looked upon in the exact opposite. And that is this thing called persecution. And that brings me to the title of this sermon message, which is Persecution, Part of the Package. And I'd like to begin reading with the scripture from over here in Mark chapter 10. Now, this is what the Lord Jesus said. Listen to this. He said, I tell you the truth, no one who has left home or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for me and the gospel will fail to receive 100 times as much in his present age, homes, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, and fields, and with them persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. So part of the package is persecution, and that's what I would like to preach on today. Persecution is a promise. We will be persecuted as we follow faithfully the Lord Jesus Christ. John chapter 15, verse 20, Jesus said, remember the words I spoke to you. No servant is greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you also. So was Jesus persecuted? Absolutely, positively, no question at all. He was often persecuted, and here's a crowning scripture that if it's not clear as of yet, and it should be, here's a scripture which even makes it more clear. It's 2 Timothy 3:12. In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. So it says everyone. If you want to live godly, you're going to be persecuted. So part of the evidence of saving grace, of living godly, being Jesus' disciple, is persecution for being his property, for belonging to the Lord. Jesus often spoke of persecution. He said in Matthew chapter 5, 10 and 11, blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. So Jesus said the persecuted are actually blessed. You and I have heard people say, I'm blessed, I'm blessed, I'm blessed. Well, I wonder just how persecuted they really are, and if they're truly accurate in saying that they're blessed. Because Jesus said here in Matthew 5, 10 through 12, that if you're persecuted for righteousness' sake, you're a blessed person. And then in Luke chapter 6, 22 and 23, Jesus also spoke about persecution. And this time he said this, blessed are you when men hate you, when they exclude you, insult you, and reject your name as evil because of the Son of Man. Now notice that. I wonder how many people that would get treatment like that would consider themselves blessed. But Jesus said such a person is blessed. And then he went on and he said, rejoice in that day and leap for joy, because great is your reward in heaven, for that is how their fathers treated the prophets. Notice he said here, hated, excluded, insulted, and your name rejected as evil. That spells H-E-I-R, which is error, error of salvation. Easy to remember. And this is persecution in a way that a lot of people probably would never recognize. Being excluded, being insulted, verbally insulted, and your name rejected as evil. But persecution is real. It's something we must know about. Jesus often taught about it. And there's a great reward in heaven for those who are persecuted. But folks, there's more to persecution than just that. The Bible tells us in Jesus' teaching on the parable of the sower in Matthew 13, Mark 4, and Luke chapter 8, that persecution can be spiritually lethal, especially Luke 8:13 is clear. Those on the rock are the ones who receive the word with joy when they hear it, but they have no root. They believe for a while, and in time of testing, they fall away. So what's the testing? The testing is persecution. We know it's persecution, especially when we compare that scripture to Matthew 13, 21, and that's where Jesus said, still giving the same teaching, the parable of the sower, but a different account, Matthew's account. It says there, but since he has no root, he lasts only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, he quickly falls away. So we're talking about trouble or persecution coming because of the word of God, and it causes, in this case, person to fall away. Doesn't have to happen like that, but sometimes it does. And according to Luke 8:13, that's when a person stops believing, and also when the plant actually dies, when it withers and dies. In other words, when salvation is lost. When Jesus sent the 12 out, he said to them, whoever disowns me before men, I will disown him before my Father in heaven, because that's referring to persecution. That's a persecution verse. Jesus said there's going to be trouble when you serve him. But you must know you can't disown him, because if you do, the ramifications are very serious. They're lethal. He will disown you before the Father. And the Bible goes on and it tells us other things. Jesus went on and he talked about persecution in Matthew 10:23, and he told the disciples what to do when they're persecuted. He said, when you're persecuted in one place, flee to another. So we're to flee persecution. And we see that kind of thing happening in the book of Acts. After Stephen was martyred, we see people being scattered, the saints being scattered from Jerusalem. For example, over here in Acts 8:1, and Saul was there giving approval to his death. On that day, great persecution broke out against the church of Jerusalem, and all except the apostles were scattered throughout Judea and Samaria. So all the saints left, male and female. They left their home, their jobs, their land, their farms, everything. They were scattered. They fled the persecution, the intense persecution that crashed down at that point. Only the apostles remained in Jerusalem. So why does the devil and the devil's children bring persecution to the saints? Because it can interfere with the gospel going forth and souls coming to salvation. It says in Acts 13:50, but the Jews incited the God-fearing women of high standing and leading men of the city. They stirred up persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them from the region. All because of persecution, Paul and Barnabas, in this case, left the region. Persecution can come because of various reasons, sometimes because of jealousy, sometimes because people feel that their livelihood of making money have been cut off. Acts 16, when the fortune-telling demon-possessed woman lost her powers when the Apostle Paul cast the demon out, and the slave owners persecuted the Apostle Paul and Silas. So we know it's normal Christian living. It's not something that's only for apostles. It's not something that's only for the specially endowed, the spiritual leader, so to speak. Every single Christian will be persecuted. If they persecuted Jesus, they'll persecute us. If you want to live godly, you will be persecuted. And the Bible tells us what we're to do, how we're to handle that. We're to flee persecution, but there's a lot more to it. Listen to Hebrews 10:33. The Bible says here, sometimes you were publicly exposed to insult and persecution. At other times, you stood side by side with those who were so treated. So these saints in the early days of their Christian walk were insulted and they were persecuted. And they stood next to others that were going through the same treatment because they wanted to encourage them and strengthen them. And folks, again, this is normal Christian living. Now, we're in apostasy, and I know this doesn't seem like it's normal, but it really is. A lot of the people that profess to be Christian, they really aren't Christian at all. Hence, nothing ever comes their way, not even insults. They're not excluded. They're with the world. They're having a love affair with the things of this world, and obviously, they are not being persecuted. They have no light. Their light's not shining. But when you shine your light and you live for Jesus and you're faithful to him, trouble will come your way. Listen to Revelation 2:10. Jesus said, don't be afraid of what you are about to suffer. Now, he's writing to Christians. He's speaking to Christians here. I tell you, the devil will put some of you in prison to test you, and you will suffer persecution for 10 days. Be faithful even to the point of death, and I'll give you the crown of life. So we need to remain faithful, even though persecution, trouble, sufferings come. Be faithful. How long? To the point of death. To the point of death. And if you are, what do you get? You get the crown of life and you won't be hurt at all by the second death. Revelation 2:10-11. And then we come down to an Old Testament passage, Psalm 119:84-87. And this implies that the writer, the unnamed writer of that psalm, was undergoing a long-term persecution. And he says this, how long must your servant wait? When will you punish my persecutors? The arrogant dig pitfalls for me, contrary to your law. All your commands are trustworthy. Help me, for men persecute me without cause. They almost wipe me from the earth, but I have not forsaken your precepts. And then just a few verses away from that, Psalm 119, 154, we read something else about the enemies of truth and the enemies of God. It says, many are the foes who persecute me, but I have not turned from your statutes. Now, some people do when they're persecuted, but this man didn't. Many are the foes who persecute me. Sometimes you'll have many people persecuting you. And this man was godly. And if you'd read Psalm 119, that would be apparent. So he had many foes, many enemies, many persecutors. And folks, you will too. If you're living godly and holy and you're serious about God, there's going to be a lot of people that are not going to be happy with you. And then just a few verses later in Psalm 119, 161, the Bible says, rulers persecute me without cause, but my heart trembles at your word. Notice he was being persecuted without just cause. There was really no justifiable reason for them to treat him that way. That's always the case. When a Christian is persecuted, it's never just. It's always unjust. But because we're living with the wicked, the sinful, the ungodly, the people that hate God and hate his truth, they pour out hatred and trouble our direction. Now listen to this. Jesus said something that is most shocking about how to deal with our persecutors. I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Matthew 5, verse 44. And then the Apostle Paul said, Romans 12, 14, bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse. Now, why does the Bible tell us to pray for our persecutors and bless our persecutors? Well, it does that because we must guard our heart. And if you pray for those that persecute you, perhaps like Stephen prayed for his persecutors, that sin would not be laid to the charge, and we bless them that persecute us, that will be a safeguard for our own soul, for our own heart. And you do this for yourself. Of course, you do it for them too, but you do it for yourself when you obey. When you obey, even scriptures like this, it's always a blessing for the one obeying, the faithful. Now listen to this. Here's a snapshot of what it was like for the Apostle Paul and his co-laborers. 1 Corinthians 4:11 and 12, it says, to this very hour we go hungry and thirsty, we are in rags, we are brutally treated, we are homeless. We work hard with our own hands, when we are cursed we bless, when we are persecuted we endure. So now we find out we are to pray for our persecutors and bless them and endure persecution, and previously we've seen that we're to flee persecution. So we endure it, we remain godly, we remain faithful to the Lord regardless what we have to face. That's the message of the Bible. That's the Christian life. And you see that all through the book of Acts, especially with the Apostle Paul. He shed his blood 9 times early in his ministry. He was locked in jail for years, beat, flogged, stoned, shipwrecked. When he was persecuted, he endured it. He remained faithful to God, as we can do also. We can do the same. We can remain faithful. Now, folks, grab hold of this nugget. Grab hold of this. When the ungodly persecute you, the faithful Christian, they're actually persecuting Jesus. Do you remember in Acts chapter 9, verses 4 and 5, when the Apostle Paul, before his conversion, when he was called Saul of Tarsus, was struck down on a road to Damascus, and Jesus said, I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. Now imagine that. He also said, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? And Saul of Tarsus was persecuting Christians, the men and the women, putting them in prison, bringing them to an early death, trying to force them to blaspheme. So you see, these persecutors, they know not what they're doing. Remember when Jesus was dying on a cross, he said, Father, forgive them, they know not what they do. Guaranteed, people that are persecuting you, the Christian, the one that's living godly and holy, they don't know what they're doing. If they did, they would never do that. And in the case of the Apostle Paul, Acts 26:11, it says, many a time I went from synagogue to another place to have them punished. I tried to force them to blaspheme. In my obsession against them, I even went to foreign cities to persecute them. So he traveled not only long distances to persecute the godly, but he tried to force the Christians to blaspheme. So what does that mean? How did he try to force them to blaspheme? He tried to get them to disown Jesus. That's what he's referring to. He's talking about disowning the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's what he was interested in doing. Isn't it interesting that religious, evil, perhaps demon-possessed people have that in mind, why don't they just kill the Christian? Why do they want the Christian to blaspheme in this way and disown Jesus? Well, you know why? Because they're doing the devil's work. And Jesus said that if we disown him, he'll disown us. So the devil really wants the Christian to lose his soul. He's trying to devour us, Peter said. Now, folks, listen to this. One of the signs of the end times is big time severe global persecution against the godly. Now, we all know about wars and famines and earthquakes, and that's certainly true. But there's some other things that we also need to know, and in light of the subject of persecution, this issue comes up. Now listen to this. This is Matthew 24:7-13. Jesus said this, "Nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of birth pains. Then you will be handed over to be persecuted and put to death. You will be hated by all nations because of me. At that time, many will turn away from the faith and betray and hate each other. Many false prophets will appear and deceive many people because of the increase in wickedness. The love of most will grow cold, but he who stands firm to the end will be saved." We have to stand firm to the end, even through persecution, to this degree, to be saved, according to Jesus. This is not the Jews during the tribulation. This is referring to Christians being hated, and the temptation will be to turn out your spiritual light and join the multitudes going to hell. Just to blend in, to get away from the hatred, the persecution. You have to endure that persecution to the end for salvation's sake, according to Jesus. One of the most stirring verses in the entire Bible that is most relevant is Revelation 12:11. Jesus said, "They overcome him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. They did not love their lives so much as to shrink from death." Though the word persecution is not mentioned there, it's referring to the attitude of the overcomer. Notice that. They had a testimony. They maintained their testimony. They continued to confess Jesus and that they were his follower, his disciple. They did not love their lives so much as to shrink from death. They were willing to die, in other words, to be persecuted, to go to prison, to whatever. It wasn't just the blood of the Lamb, but of course the blood of the Lamb is foundational. It's all through God. It's all through what Jesus did on the cross. But when it comes to the word of their testimony and not loving their lives so much as to shrink from death, that's where the devil can come in during this test, and some turn away from the faith, like Jesus said. And during the days when Saul of Tarsus was so active persecuting Christians in the early church, he said this in Acts 22:4. Now, this is the Apostle Paul after his conversion. He said, "I persecuted the followers of this way to their death, arresting both men and women and throwing them into prison." Now, folks, if you live back in that time, that's what would have happened to you. He would have hunted you down. He would have been after you, even if you're a woman. He'd want to throw you into prison and have you put to death. Now, what do you think it would have been like? You think you would have stood? Folks, I guarantee, according to the message of the Bible, it's going to happen this way, perhaps even in a more severe manner. Remember, Revelation 12:11. "They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony, did not love the lies so much as to shrink from death." You've got to maintain that attitude in your heart. And to be an overcomer, to enter God's kingdom, you must endure persecution. Matthew 10:22, "All men will hate you because of me. He who stands firm to the end will be saved." We got to stand firm to the end to be saved. You know why Jesus said, "He that endures to the end will be saved"? Jesus said, "He that endures to the end will be saved because he that endures to the end will be saved." So we have to endure to the end to be saved, which means if we don't endure to the end, we won't be saved. Paul's Christian life is also shown here in 2 Corinthians 4:8-9. Listen to this. "We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not despaired, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed." Now remember, folks, when you're persecuted, that doesn't mean God abandoned you. You're being tested. You're being tested. You got to walk through the eye of faith and realize you're really blessed because you're persecuted. You have a great reward awaiting you, according to what Jesus said. A great reward. And all of the saved get persecuted. It's not only for the so-called spiritual leaders like the Apostle Paul and others. All of them get persecuted. And if you're living godly, that includes you. And if you're not living godly, you need to get saved. Listen to Hebrews 11:35-39. "Others were tortured and refused to be released so that they might gain a better resurrection. Some faced jeers and floggings, while still others were chained and put in prison. They were stoned, they were sawed in two, they were put to death by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in the deserts and mountains and in caves and holes in the ground. These were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised. Now imagine that. If you're a Christian, your spiritual family of the past lived this way. They were tortured and refused to be released. That implies that the torturers must have gave them a promise that if you stop this Christian stuff, we'll release you. If you don't, we're going to keep torturing you. Well, they refused to be released. They preferred the torture here rather than the torture and in the fire of hell. They were interested in a better resurrection. And the passage goes on. It says, some face jeers. See, that's a form of persecution. Floggings, of course, that would be. They were chained and put in prison just like a criminal. But imagine they're not a criminal. They're Christian. They're righteous. They're holy. They're following God. They were stoned. They were sawed in two. Now, we don't know who that could be. Perhaps Isaiah, but whoever it was. It says they. So more than just Isaiah, plural people. They were put to death by the sword. John the Baptist had his head cut off. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins. Folks, they were destitute, persecuted, and mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. You see, that's a sign that the world who treated them like that, the world was not worthy of the saints, the ones they persecuted. They knew not what they were doing. We're the salt of the earth and the light of this world. But persecution is part of the package deal. It goes with being a Christian, with following the Lord. We have all these wonderful blessings. And folks, this is a test, as I stated earlier. It's a sign that we're blessed. It's actually evidence of saving grace because it's the godly that get persecuted for righteousness' sake. And it goes on in Hebrews chapter 11. I already read it, but it says they wandered in the deserts. Imagine a life like that, wandering in the deserts and mountains and in caves and holes in the ground. Now imagine that. Imagine that. What kind of life would that be? Well, these are people the world was not worthy of. People with faith that was commendable. Not weak faith, not flawed faith, not unsaved people, but godly, righteous, holy people. Would you be willing to join that crowd? If you had to, would you? Folks, persecution is real. It has always been real for the saints. It's part of the package of having God and salvation and following Jesus. And especially at the end of this age, persecution is something we must know about and we must endure. And when it comes, flee if possible. Pray for your persecutors. Bless them. Don't get in unforgiveness and hate and bitterness. Move on and realize you have a great reward in heaven according to what Jesus said. That's through the eye of faith. Take one day at a time and we got better days ahead. In the kingdom, there will be no more persecution, no more wicked people that could pour out this misery and hate upon us. We got victory in Jesus. Rejoice in the Lord. Regardless, the price you got to pay now is very small. God bless you.